which comes first for you in this process of making this film? Is it the animal rescuer in you, or is it the documentarian?
I would have to say it's the... What comes first for me in this process is the animal rescuer or humanitarian, and documentarian was definitely second.
Where does your passion for animals and animal rescue come in? When was that fostered?
I've always loved animals, and I think when I saw what was happening after Katrina with the animals, I definitely felt moved to do something, but not only because of the animals, but because I was very aware that these animals were people's pets, and, you know, I understand very well the bond between humans and animals and how important that is.
There must have been hundreds of potential subjects, you know, people to talk to for this film. How did you choose the ones you did? What stood out about their stories?
Well, we spoke with so many amazing people. I mean, the stories are endless. And we filmed several dozen people, and I think we just ended up focusing on the main five stories that we did just because they were really representative of what was happening to people across the board. And our subjects are just phenomenal. You really get so powerfully what they've gone through, and I think they're just all so expressive, and they just really told the story.
In the film, it's shown how people have to separate from their pets in the days before Hurricane Katrina made landfall in New Orleans, and then trying to get them back. It must be difficult for people because they hold on to pets like family members, but the law considers pets to be property. It must be very difficult for folks.
I think the fact that the law considers animals property is why this whole mess happened, because people weren't allowed to take their pets with them. And I think that completely devalues both people and the animals and the relationship that they have. I mean, I just can't even imagine that people were told to leave their family members behind like they were objects. And I think that's a huge problem. And I really hope that as a result of what happened, all the animals that died, all of the people that suffered, you know, the loss of a family member, aside from everything else that they had already lost, I really hope that, that, you know, things can change because of this.
Jesse, let me ask you, you're one of the subjects of the film, and your dog's name is JJ. In the film, you describe how he came to get his name. Tell me just a little bit about your time with him before the storm.
I received JJ when he was a puppy from one of my coworkers at the hotel. And prior to getting him, my wife, she wasn't a real dog lover, and she actually told me the only way I can get a dog is that I get him as a puppy. And I remember when I brought JJ home, he was one of them oversized puppies. And she looked at him, the first thing she said, "That's not a puppy." I said, "Yes, it is. It's a puppy." And so after time, she grown to love him. And then we had a problem with picking a name for him. And my wife and my daughters, we were sitting around one night, and we were trying to come up with different names. And I told him, I said, "I got the perfect name. I want to call him JJ. She said, "JJ?" I said, "Yes, Jesse Jr. And that's what we named him.
If you could describe the circumstances that led up to your separation with JJ.
During the Hurricane Katrina, the hurricane didn't hit New Orleans. It hit about 75 miles away. And most New Orleanians were under the impression that we were forced to evacuate, but we only would be gone for overnight because of the severity of the wind. And so when I got ready to leave, I made adequate preparations for JJ because he was basically an inside dog, so I kept him inside a lot, and I put out a lot of food and water, and I had him in a high elevation in the house. And when we left, we were only leaving with the intent that we would be back the next day. But unfortunately, when the levees broke and the water came, we were not allowed to come back in the city for 2 weeks.
That's interesting, because even as I was watching the film, I forgot about the circumstances going back, you know, these years to 2005, and how you're right. People didn't expect that. You know, all this, you know, the levees breaking, the flooding. People didn't expect that was going to happen and that you were going to be away for so long.
No, we didn't expect it. You know, one of the things that I'm trying to get people to understand is that we did not abandon our pets. You know, at the time of our evacuation, we were only allowed to take adequate things with us. And I had a large family at the time, and I had to make some mandatory decisions on who I could take and I couldn't take. And unfortunately, with only 2 vehicles and 9 adults and 11 kids, I was in a situation where I had to leave JJ behind. But like I said, the point of leaving him behind, I did not anticipate that it would be 2 weeks before I would be allowed to come back and get him. I had to figure the next day, once I got my family to safety, my immediate family, I would be able to come back and get him and bring him to safety also. But unfortunately, it didn't work out like that.
And Geraldine, tell me about what happened in the immediate aftermath of Katrina to these pets. What did you see as you were going into New Orleans and as part of the rescue and cleanup efforts?
Well, I think in a hurricane, I think people are told that the worst thing that could happen is their pets get out. You know, glass breaks, windows break, and they get out. And so people were told to make sure their dogs were securely locked in the house. And so a lot of times animals were trapped inside and houses were boarded up, or they were in kennels and crates or chained up even within a house. And so when the floodwaters came in, I think a lot of pets died that way. And I think coming into it, you know, it's estimated that hundreds of thousands of just domesticated pets were left behind, and the majority of them didn't survive the hurricane. So when we came in, you know, I mean, obviously we all saw images of pets trapped on roofs, and what I saw in the rescue was that there were a lot of animals on the streets sort of running wild, and in the toxic waters, and then in the toxic sort of aftermath of what was left, this just gray sludge everywhere, and there was nothing for them to survive on, and the rest were locked in homes. And you know, they were rescuing, the rescuers were going in up to like 8 weeks after Katrina and finding pets alive, like barely alive, but amazingly hanging on.
So for the pets that did make it through and were rescued, briefly describe what it was, the process for those pets, about, you know, going to adoption agencies and what have you.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was no standard ahead of this for how to handle something like this. And I think the rescue organizations and the volunteers did an amazing job of really creating a process so that they could continue rescuing. And so what they did was they would process these pets. They'd take care of their medical needs. They would give them chips so that they could be tracked. They would photograph them and put their photos up on Pet Finder, a website designed to help people locate their pets. And so they put their photos up there, and then they would send them out to shelters around the country. And the idea was that these pets would be fostered, and they set a foster period. Initially, it was only a few weeks. And then when they realized that was inadequate, they extended it even longer. And so ideally, people would just be fostering these pets, and then the owners could find them on, the original guardians could find them and return them.
I was just sitting here thinking about the question that you asked, and dealing with the emotions that I'm going through right now. I remember during that 2-week span how I would just sit and look out at the sky and wonder if JJ had made it out, you know, because at points on the news they were saying that the pets would be rescued and brought to the SPCA. So I had some sense of relief, but then I realized that the SPCA wasn't but 8 blocks from my house, so I say maybe it was underwater too. And I remember after 2 weeks, when I finally got a chance to go back in, because they were allowing us to go back in by the zip codes, I remember when I went to my house and I seen the house and it was so devastated, and I was crying, and I walked around the side of the house to the side door, and I seen a piece of paper stapled on the door. And when I first seen the paper, I had a sigh of relief because I figured I had some information as to where JJ was at. But when I got up to the piece of paper, I noticed that the rain had washed any remnants of reading it away. And my heart started to sink again. From that point on, it was very difficult for me, because for the next 3 weeks, you know, I would drive around the city, around the house, hoping that I would see JJ because I figured he was smart enough to survive. You know, it wasn't until about 4 weeks after that that my family came down from Minnesota, and I was taking them around, showing them the devastation. Then I passed by the house, and I seen another flyer on the door, and I began to read the flyer, and it was from a lady named Janet, who was a member of an organization that had actually rescued JJ.
And so where are you at in the process right now? Because it's revealed in the film that you're still looking for JJ.
Yes, I am. I'm presently still looking for him. It has been 4 years now. The last time I spoke with my lawyer in California about JJ, we had made arrangements. We had located him, and we had made arrangements for him to be returned to me. But unfortunately, the persons that have JJ decided that they didn't want to go through with it, so they have taken him, and we don't know their location right now.
Gerilyn, some of the stories in the film reveal that the adoptive owners maybe have decided to go ahead and give the pet back to the original owner. And obviously in your case, Jesse, JJ is still with somebody else, and they're not giving him up at the moment. So I'm wondering what were the processes that you found that people would go through in order to decide to give a pet back, and why do you think in this case you're still looking, I guess? Jesse, you.
I think people made their decisions on whether or not they were going to keep the pet or return it. I mean, based on so many different things, and I think in a lot of cases it was about presumptions that people made about the original guardian and what kind of a guardian they were. And so I think there was a lot of judgment. If I say I wouldn't leave my pet behind, I just think that a lot of people said, I wouldn't do that, so they must not be good pet owners. And so I think a lot of it was based on judgment. A lot of it was based on the attachments that people formed with these animals. A lot of the animals were in really horrible condition after the hurricane. And I think the bond then, when you nurture an animal back to health, is really powerful. And so I think there were just so many reasons. And in Jesse's case, I think that these people just don't know who he is. They don't know anything about him, and there hasn't been any direct communication. And I think in a lot of cases, that, to me, is really tragic when people don't communicate directly. People talk through lawyers or don't talk at all, and they're able to make presumptions and not have compassion.
Just to add to that, the first problem with this whole scenario was the wrong word was chosen in the beginning. The word was abandonment. That was a very powerful word in the beginning. And because people did not know the circumstances of what happened in New Orleans, because they only was known through the media footage, they didn't really know that what we had really went through. The devastation of Katrina, you know, I don't think anybody in our situation would have done things differently, because we're talking about a total loss in your life. I mean, everything that you know of was gone in the wink of an eye. I think people assume that we didn't care because we left our pets behind, but we were informed by the media that should we leave our pets behind, that they would be taken to the SPCA. We relied on the system to do aftercare for our pets when we were not able to, and this did not come about. When JJ was rescued, I think the next thing that went wrong is that people took it upon themselves to make decisions for me and JJ, and they're not qualified to make those decisions. Only me and JJ can make those decisions. I never would have given him up under any circumstances, regardless. The bottom line is, he's mine. I raised him. I taught him how to sit. I taught him how to speak. You know, I taught him how to laugh. You know, he's mine. And nothing's going to change that.
Even as much as you love JJ, though, Are you able at all to put yourself in an adoptive family's place and see how they might have formed an attachment with the dog themselves?
Well, I don't fault the adoptive family. I fault the organization that adopted him out, because they should have explained to the individuals at the time of the adoption that in time, if the person come forward for the pet, you would have to relinquish the pet. And therefore, the adoptive family would have been able to make the adequate decision at that time. You know, if you tell me I can adopt this dog, but you don't tell me nothing about his owner, and you tell me, well, he was abandoned, because I'm looking at the TV, I'm saying, okay, he's abandoned. I want to do the humane thing. I want to adopt this pet. But you should have told them that I would want him back one day. Now, I actually contacted the lady 3 years before it got to this point. So she knew that I wanted my pet back, but at the time it was denied that she knew of JJ, that she had him, where he was at. You know, so this dragged on for like 4 years. So, no, I don't fault the adoptive family. I understand what they did. They gave love where love was needed, and I appreciate that. But the bottom line is, he's mine.
Your family is in Houston right now, is that correct?
Yes, they are.
And you're working in New Orleans, and what are your next steps now? What can you say about that?
Well, my next step now is to keep pursuing to get JJ back, because when I go home to Houston, you know, the first thing my grandkids says is, are we getting JJ back? You know, and it's like, I'm like this here. I don't feel JJ would give up on me, so I'm not going to give up on him.